Here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about cars, and we're going to be talking about a motorcycle here in just a minute. And if you have any car questions, if you perhaps got an estimate from a shop recently, and we can talk about the symptoms. And see, folks, that's what it's all about, is when you take your car in for repair, a lot of times you're going to get a laundry list of stuff that needs to be done according to the shop, whether it's an independent shop, a chain store, a car dealership, a specialty shop like, you know, somebody that just does brakes or just does alignments or just does tires. Everybody is looking out after your car. Some people have a cleaner heart than others, but at the end of the day, you're the one that has to decipher all that kind of stuff. So if you have any of those kinds of questions, I took my car in, I had this many miles on it, they said I needed this kind of work, and then we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about symptoms. I'm going to ask you questions, and you'll answer them. And it can be one of three answers: yes, no, or I don't know. And those are the acceptable answers. But we talk about that, which is what I do 7 days a week, pretty much. Every minute I'm awake is I deal with these kinds of issues. So 602-508-0960, the lines are open. There's five of them, 602-508-0960. The guy that flies this airplane for the next 2 hours, his name is Gil. He'll answer the phone, he'll ask you what your name is, and he'll tell you, okay, I'm going to put you in queue. And then he whispers in my ear, in my headphones, and he says, hey, Sarah's next, or Bob's next, or whatever. So that's kind of how it works. 602-508-0960. Let me tell you real quick about a repair shop. And I talk about repair shops throughout the show. It's because they're really good, and because they're spread throughout the Phoenix Valley area. They're people that I know, and I feel very comfortable in telling you that they'll treat you fairly. Because they do, and because I've known most of the owners for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. So it's not like we were all put together yesterday. Action Auto Repair's up at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom and I have been best of friends since 1983. He worked for a company that was selling automotive diagnostic equipment, is when I first met him. But I was really impressed with his technical skills and with just the way and mannerisms that he has. So if you live anywhere near I-17 in Deer Valley and you don't have a repair shop and you're looking for one, Tom has ASE Master Certified Technicians, and he's on I-17 in Deer Valley, the northwest corner. I-17 in Deer Valley. 602-508-0960. And we got a caller. We'll go right to that. Who's that, Gil?
Say good morning to Will.
Will, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, I have a new car question.
Okay.
So I was just out test driving a couple of cars because I needed a new vehicle. And so far, it's a Hyundai Tucson is the one that I'm interested in. But what I'm finding interesting is there's two things. One, apparently all of their new vehicles, well, almost all of them, are no longer using a manual gear shift. They're push button for choosing, you know, park, drive, reverse. And then the second one, I was wondering if that's standard, if that's going to be happening. I understand it removes a linkage, and then it's electronic. So my question was, is that the move that we're seeing from, like, all auto manufacturers? And then I had a second question that also ties into that. When I was test driving it, every time I came to a full stop, the engine would completely go to zero. It would shut off. And then when I take my foot off the brake, it would kick back in. Now, I remember old school days, I was always told, don't turn the car off, don't restart it, because it causes more wear and tear and uses more gas. So those are my two questions for you.
Okay, well, we'll go to the first one first and refresh my memory. I know what the second one was. What was the first one? Just give me the quick.
It was no longer having a shifter.
Okay.
Where it's a button for park, a button for reverse, a button for drive.
Okay. We need electrical stuff to have the computer operate the cars, which is it's similar, if not exactly like what they send to Mars and the Moon and all that other kind of stuff. Your car is this giant computer, and so we need electrical signals. For instance, 1 volt might be park, so the computer sends 5 volts to the shift console, and if it gets 1 volt back, that's park. 2 volts is reverse, 3 volts is neutral, 4 volts is drive, and 6 volts
right.
is low. We need that, and we can't do that with manual. And there's nothing to be afraid of. It's a system that's been refined over the years. It's not like this is the very first car that has it. And to be honest with you, let me change your question. How often, Mark, are you having to deal with push-button transmission selection? And the answer is we probably process 30, 40, 50 cars a day, and I think maybe we do one a year. maybe we do one a year.
Okay.
And that's somebody poked, they used their pen to hit drive and poked a hole in the condom across the front of it, and now we have to replace it. So that's it. On the second part, you talk about where you're gonna kill your engine when you come to a stop, and then, you know, the light turns green, you take your foot off the brake, you hit the gas, and the car takes off. That's a fuel economy issue, cut and dried. The starters on those cost three times more than the regular starter that before we had this start-stop kind of situation. That's all you have. You have an expensive starter. But to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think we've ever replaced one of those. Now, we're not going to see the car till it's out of warranty. But in reality, I don't think I'm worried about that. My wife just bought a car with the start-stop. And she said it was difficult to understand and remember what was going on, and but the radio still works. So that's all she cared about.
Yes.
So this is just new technology that there is no negative to, not in my opinion.
Okay.
And I think it would be fair to say that I'm pretty well versed, and I'm tied into all the different lines on the internet with respect to car problems and car repair shops and pattern failures of cars and trucks and imports and domestics and Germans and all that stuff. These are just not two things that I would be concerned about. I'm not even concerned that she bought the start-stop Jeep. I don't care. And so,
Mark, I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Will. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Okay. If anybody you know is interested and has been looking for a three-wheeled trike, a motorcycle trike, it usually, the one I'm going to talk about has a windshield, it has a driver's seat, it has a passenger seat, it has luggage compartment on the back. It's a Honda, but it's got a Roadsmith trike setup, and the Roadsmith is pretty much the Cadillac, the Mercedes-Benz of most of them. So anyway, I have one, and I've had it for a very long time. I've had it, I think, let me see here, 8 years, and I've probably put a total of 5,000 miles on it, but it's time to send it out. So I have a 2012 1800 Roadsmith trike that's a Honda Goldwing. It's presently in Payson, and I'm going to bring it down to the valley. It has custom paint. It has custom wheels. It has and then the Mark Salem vehicles are going to be as perfect technologically as they can, and I'll tell you, give you a good example. On a trike, there's a lot of weight on that front tire, and it's not uncommon for us to weigh the front tire on a trike and find out that the front tire has a weight of 800 pounds on it, but when you look at the sidewall of the tire, it says at maximum inflation, this tire holds 400 pounds. So we got a 400-pound tire carrying 800 pounds of load. That's not appropriate. It's not safe. It's not smart. It's not anything. So just to give you an example, when I bought this from a gentleman way back 8 years ago, he had a Michelin tire on it, and the Michelin tire had a 600-pound rating, and I needed something that was north of 700-pound rating. And actually, we were both the same size and weight, and our wives rode on it, et cetera, et cetera. And so that was the first thing I did is I just found another tire that would carry the load of the front. And then on the back tires, it's the same thing. You have to appropriately size the tires on the back for the weight and the load. But then you also have to worry about speed rating and inflation. Too much inflation gives you a really bumpy ride and doesn't have much tire of tread on the roadway. Underinflation causes the tire to overheat, and you have a nice softer ride, but you're going to heat up the tire, and if it blows up, then you're in a three-wheeled a motorcycle that just turned into a two-wheeled motorcycle, and you're going to be in big trouble. All that kind of stuff is taken care of. So if you know anybody who's interested in a trike, it's a black and silver Honda Goldwing trike, and I have pictures, and I have all the maintenance records, and I have everything, and I'm a real anal guy, as you probably know already, so it has three new tires on it, and all the tires are weight appropriate and speed rating appropriate. It has a trailer hitch. It has a brake light that it's called a back off wigwag. So when you apply your brakes, we're flashing the brake light at the person behind you just to get their attention. And it is something that's legal. It has all kinds of LED lights and air horns and smoked turn signal lenses and all kind backup camera. And one of the things it has that we've used a lot, but never on our, it has a trailer hitch in the back. When you break down on a trike, the tow truck has to pull the trike up onto the tow truck. There's no place to put a J-hook. There's no place to chain on a trike. Usually they're really low to the ground, and it's always a big problem. So I made an attachment that goes into the trailer hitch with a big eye on it so that the tow truck can grab a hold of it with his chain and just pull you backwards up onto the tow truck bed to take you for help if you have a flat tire, if your motor goes bad, or whatever, whatever. So I've never used it on my trike, but I've used it on three or four other trikes that I happen to go on trips with. So, again, it's a Honda Trike 2012, and I think the price is going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $24. And the story behind it, I'll tell you real quick, is kind of funny. The guy buys it, and he's a BMW engineer. He works for BMW Motor Car Company, and he's an engineer for them. He buys the trike at a Honda shop, and then he takes it to the factory across the street. And he's there at that time. He's in the factory watching and helping them put his two-wheel motorcycle into a three-wheel motorcycle. So from there he moved to Prescott, and then I ended up buying it from him in Prescott. But the knowledge he had about this trike was just phenomenal. He was there when it was built, and he knows the torque specification. He knows everything. And it was interesting because he is an engineer, and I tease engineers all the time, but both of us have a job to do, and I respect engineers, and hopefully they respect the guys that fix cars. But at the end of the day, it was an honor to talk to him, and he knew every nut and bolt on that trike, and as a result, so do I. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960 is the phone number. If you'd like to talk about a car, you can. Talk about a vehicle of yours, you can. All you do is give us a call, and Gil's going to answer the phone, and you say, I'd like to talk to Mark, and he'll say, sure, and he'll put you on hold, and then he says in my ear, Betty Lou is your next caller, or John, or whatever. And that's how it works. And we're on live time, so if you look at your clock right now, we're 12 seconds away from 17 minutes after the hour. And under the best of conditions, if I'm a really good radio guy, I'll be out exactly at 17 minutes past the hour. So I'm Mark Salem, and we'll be back in just a minute. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, we have our lines are wide open. There's five of them. If you'd like to join us, it's a car show. So if you have an argument in your family, if there's an argument between the husband and the wife, or the husband and the son, or what car you should buy, or if you want any kind of opinion on cars and oils and gasolines and all that kind of stuff, then you can call. If you've been faced recently with an estimate, you took your car in for an oil change and they gave you an estimate for, you know, $3,000 for a bunch of work, then get the estimate in front of you and let's go over the specific issues that they talk about, and I'll tell you, I think that one's got merit, or I think that one doesn't, and those are how it works. 602-508-0960. Automatic Transmission Exchange and Phil have been around in Phoenix since 1968, so if you travel Washington Street, there at 40th Street on the north side of the road is where Automatic Transmission Exchange is at. They started when transmissions were very difficult back then because we just didn't understand them. But today on a 1 to 100 scale, the early transmissions, the older transmissions, on a 1 to 10 scale on difficulty are about a 1 today for those of us that have been around a long time. The new electronic 8-speed automatic transmissions that are being shifted by the computer on the car, those are different animals. But you have to have the fundamental knowledge at the beginning of the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s in order to understand what we're dealing with today. And, of course, Automatic Transmission Exchange does just that. Well, good thing about them is if they're not the best guy for your transmission repair, they'll tell you who is. So they do 90% of the work that comes in their doors, but there are some cars out there with transmissions, and they're well aware that so-and-so in Tempe or so-and-so up near I-17 and Pinnacle Peak, he'll be a better guy than we are. So Automatic Transmission Exchange, you got a transmission problem, that's where I would probably start. When it comes to being able to take your car in for repairs, what I'm seeing a lot of is I'm seeing that the shops, there are shops out there, and certainly I think that there are probably about 25% of the shops out there have decided to deviate from your owner's manual to benefit them. Folks, it's no secret that the first 100,000 miles on your new car, we're not going to get to make a lot of money on it. We're going to change your oil, and we're going to rotate your tires for the first 100,000 miles. That's it. there may be some 75,000-mile calls there. Maybe they want us to flush your transmission at 75 or something like that. But the first 100,000 miles, there's just not a lot on anything that's been made in the last 5 to 10 years. There's not a lot of money there. It's just oil changes, tire rotations, and that's it. That's the problem, is because many shops are making up their own intervals. And what I see every day of my life, we had a call not too long ago, and the customer had been told that they needed all their fluids changed. Differential, I'm starting from the back of the car, the differential, the transfer case, so four-wheel drive, the transmission, the power steering, the brake fluid, the cooling system. All of them not done. This vehicle had 40,000 miles on it, but the owner's manual called all of those in for between 80 to 100,000 miles. So there's a disconnect here, because the manual is written by the person that built this vehicle, and they're saying that these fluids should be changed somewhere in the vicinity of 75 to 100,000. With 100 was the tall end, 75 was the earliest. And here we got this shop out there that's at 30, 40,000 miles telling the customer, this is all needs to be done. I want to tell you, it's no secret, we make good money on flushes. We flush your wallet, though, with the best. And when we start flushing transmissions and on all the different components I just said to you, we make money. It's not a boatload of money, because most of us make about 8 cents on the dollar as what at the end of the day for profit after you pay everything. Or 10 cents, and there's very few double-digit percentages out there in the market that will show you their paperwork. The bottom line is that it's really important for you to be well aware of your owner's manual. And when someone tells you that you need something to be done, one of the first things that comes out of your mouth might very well be, what symptom do I have that you're going to fix? Because that's a killer question. And I got that from some old-timer, and I thought it was one of the best things I had ever heard in a long, long time. What symptom do I have that you're going to fix with your repair? And you're going to hear them go, that's what you're going to hear, because they don't know. The technician told the service writer that you needed a transmission flush. He didn't say why. He didn't say the fluid's brown. He didn't say the fluid's burnt. He didn't say anything. He just said it needed it. Well, that day he decided to go on a transmission flush binge. So every car that came into his bay needed a transmission flush, and that's what happened. Most of us in the management of these repair shops, both independents, chains, dealerships, we watch that real carefully. We don't want one technician to just spend the rest of his life changing transmission fluids, because, frankly, they get really good at that. And if the book time says that it's $100 labor, they can do it in $80, in $80 worth of labor time, so they make a little extra money because they're extra speedy or because they're extra proficient. But the bottom line is it really doesn't do anything for the shop or the customer, in the sense that it's a service sold that's not needed, based on the book that was written by the people that built the car. And they're well aware that that car can be anywhere from California to North Carolina, from Arizona from the south all the way through Canada to the north. That car can be in any of those, you know, environmental conditions. And so the manual is written for just about everybody out there. And that's what's most important is that. And then the default is here's my email address. Would you be so kind as to just type this out and send it to me? My husband wants to read it. Or my son lives in Nebraska, and he works on cars, and I'd like an opinion from him. If there's any possibility that they're going to get caught with their hands in the cookie jar, you're not going to get an email. They're not going to send you an email. They're not going to tell you you need a four-fluid flush at 30,000 miles when everybody knows that it's in the manual, it's at 100. So those are the problems that can happen, and it's called self-defense for car expense. And I coined that phrase a long time ago. Self-defense for car expense means get everything in writing and then look at your owner's manual. Those are the two things that need to happen. You can also do something that's kind of... just draw your own conclusion. You can call a couple of shops and you can say, you know, I was over at so-and-so. I went over to a shop close to your shop, and they told me I needed brake fluid, power steering, coolant, and transmission flushes, and I only have 30,000 miles on it. What do you think about that? Some people in our industry will stand on the shoulders of others to make them look good, so you're likely to hear, oh, no, you need to check your owner's manual. I think they're bringing you in way too early. Or they may say, oh, no, that's an appropriate thing. But your owner's manual is your manual, is your Bible for your car. It's, you should do what it says. And to be perfectly honest with you, we're not going to do any big work on your car until 100,000 miles. We're going to do, we might do a transmission after 100,000 miles. We're probably going to do at least one, maybe two brake jobs in the first 100,000 miles. Maybe three. We're not going to have a whole bunch of flushing in the first 100,000 miles, but we are at 100,000 miles. So, and the flushing sometimes is lucrative and sometimes it isn't, but the bottom line is it is beneficial for you. So when we replace your old transmission fluid with new, your old brake fluid with new, your old coolant with new, your differential, your transfer case, all that stuff with new, it's better. It's going to help the part last longer. But in our industry, we just can't all get on the same page. So I give you these warnings just so that if you're at the shop and you hear it, and you say, well, what's the manual? The manual's not written for Arizona. If you hear that, you just smile, take the paperwork, and go find another shop. Because the manual, we don't have Arizona manuals for cars. We have manuals that are written for all 50 states and all kinds of environments. And there may be some asterisks in your manuals, but you'll see that when you look at the thing. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Talk. If you have a car question or car problem, 602-508-0960. Just tell me your make and model and tell me what the issue is. Describe the best you can on what's going on, and then I'm going to ask you questions like, how about cold? How about hot? All day long, is the air conditioning on? Is the air conditioning off? Does the check engine light come on? And we're going to have that kind of a conversation, and I should be able to guide you. I'm not real good at fixing cars over the radio, but I have been known with a good discussion of getting doggone close. So you're welcome to give us a call again, 602-508-0960. Automotive Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for complete auto services, says Mark Salem. It's family-owned and operated since 1982. Chuck and I have been friends for 30, 35 years. I know Chuck's a pretty principled guy. Sometimes he's a little tough. And he's not tough on customers, he's tough on staff. But I think you'd rather have that, where the owner is running roughshod on the shaft, on staff, as opposed to the other way around. But you don't have to worry about that. In Sun City, Automotive Dynamics is a good guy. He's on the west side of, or the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. On the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue, Automotive Dynamics. When it comes to repairing your cars, It's really important when you take your car in. The very best thing for you is just to write down what you want to tell the technician that's working on your car and leave that document on the dashboard. If you want to talk to the technician, then give him your cell phone number. If you have any questions, I'm the one that drives this car day in and day out. It is an intermittent problem. If you have questions, call me. If you want to talk to the technician. Now, sometimes the shop, not my shop and not many other shops I know, but sometimes the shops will take that document from you and then they'll just give it to the service writer and he'll kind of interface, because the worst case scenario is the customer calls and ends up talking to the technician for a period of, 42 minutes, and that's unbillable time. So it's a difficult transition, so that's why I give you that option of just leave a little note, tape it to the dashboard. For the technician who has the unfortunate circumstance of getting my car, if you have any questions, please call me. My name is this, and you can call me anytime you want from sunup to sundown, and I'll answer. And then, I had one lady, and I loved how she said that. She says, I know how to say yes, and I know how to say no, but I'm really good at saying I don't know. And I said, well, most men would never say that, but I understand what you're saying, and that's a nice thing to do. So you can also go to my website, marksalem.com, and there's a list of shops there that I think are really the good guys in the neighborhood. It's not all the great shops in Phoenix, but it certainly is the guys that have been around a very long time that have proven themselves to be really knowledgeable about car repair, and they're not swayed by technicians who want to overload the ticket with a bunch of, high profit margin flushes and stuff like that, because that's typically where it comes from. It comes from the shop. And the shop, whoever's in the shop, which is going to be the service manager, the assistant service manager, or the floor manager, or the technicians, or the parts department, somebody's going to come up with this idea that we need to flush everything on every car that comes in. And those are the kinds of things that you need to open up your owner's manual to determine. And it's okay, you say to them, you know, in my owner's manual, it doesn't even say that I flush the power steering fluid ever. It does say that I flush the transmission or I replace the transmission fluid at 100,000 miles. So isn't the transmission fluid and the power steering fluid similar in nature? They're both a hydraulic fluid. Okay, well, I'll just do my power steering at 100,000 miles if it's all the same to you. Now, if the shop were to say to you, okay, I understand your position, but when you come in, this is what I want to do. I want to open up your hood, and I'm going to stick a white paper towel inside the reservoir of your power steering reservoir, and I'm going to pull it out, and you're going to see very dark and burnt fluid. And then I'm going to show you brand new fluid for your power steering that's pink and clear. And that's the reason why I want you to know that I think you should have your power steering system flushed, is because the fluid shows lots of wear and tear. And so let's get the old out and let's get the new in. That's kind of an interesting conversation, and oftentimes we offer that, we as an industry. And the people that actually take us up on that offer are just really grateful, I think, because the dog and pony show is right there in front of them. Now, one lady said, how do I know that you didn't put that contaminated fluid in my system and represent it as something I have? I remember the shop owner just stood there. This is what he said to me. I just stood there. I didn't know really what to say because she's suggesting I'm trying to. He says, so I just put the cap back on the reservoir. I said, would you like to take a picture of the two white paper towels I have? One is saturated with clean fluid and one is fluid of yours. Why don't you take a picture of it? And thank you very much, Mrs. Jones. Good luck in your search for a new repair facility. And he just walked away. So she called his hand in a way that he found objectionable. But in reality, he left her with those two paper towels, and the new shop, whoever she goes to, he does the same thing. He opens up the reservoir. He sticks a towel in there. He pulls it out. It's brown. He knows new is either amber or red. And so he can say to the lady, no, he was right. Or he says, no, it's as clean as a whistle. I don't know where he got the brown stuff. So those are the things that kind of is self-defense for car expense. If you have a car question, the lines are open. I have 5-602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. 43 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday I'm here talking about car repair and car issues and different transmissions and oils and gasoline and parts and all that kind of stuff. So you're welcome to join us. It's a live show, 602-508-0960. And I'm going to go to Anna. And Bob, you stay there because you're number two. Anna, how can I help you this morning?
Thank you so much. Good morning. I have a 2010 BMW 5 Series. And I have lots of miles, almost actually 200,000.
Okay.
And I, not always, but more often now, I smell fuel in my garage. So I must have probably a leak somewhere or something, but I'm new to the area, and I don't know whether it's, I'm hoping to sort of buy a new car, and I don't know whether I should really try hurry to fix this or not.
Well, I can answer your questions, and it's not going to, you're not going to leave here feeling, you know, like something bad's happened. Let me explain. Ever since the 90s, we have been sucking the fumes off the gas tank and sending them forward to the engine to have the engine consume the fuel in a fume form and then send it out the tailpipe. So it's called the evaporative system. So we have a system designed. It's computer operated, where we suck the gasoline fumes off and we burn them. We send them forward and we burn them. That's normal. Who fills up your car, you or someone else?
I do.
Okay. Now this is where the rubber has to meet the road, so you have to tell me the truth. How many clicks happen before you hang up the nozzle?
I did that a few times. In the past few months, I guess, because sometimes I usually get my gas at Costco, and the pump almost, like, closed off. I know it wasn't full because it's just, like, a few dollars. So
okay.
I am guilty of that sometimes.
Okay. Well, this is a recoverable problem. What happens is if I stuff the tank, then I get the filter and the evaporative system full of liquid fuel instead of vapor, instead of fuel vapor. And it's going to smell around the car. So what I want you to do is I want you to try this. Before we spend any money going crazy, we're going to do two things. Okay. Number one, you're going to put it on medium speed, and the very first time it clicks off, you hang the nozzle up, okay? And I want to know if the smell persists. But it's going to be there for another fill-up or two, just because we may have got some liquid gas into a system that's only charged with vapor gas. So it's going to take a little while to get the liquid out of there. And then the second thing is on your next oil change, you say to them, or next time it goes in for the repair shop or anything, would you put it up in the air and look for any kind of fuel leaks? Your BMW is a fuel-injected motor like my trucks are and everybody else's cars are. If you have a leak in the fuel injection system, it's a big dog leak. You're never going to miss it. It's going to be a big, and as soon as you turn the key on, there's going to be fuel on the ground. As soon as you turn the key off, there'll be fuel on the ground. So it's probably not any external leak. It may be related to the way you've been filling up your tank. But if you just stop on the first click, and I know how you feel because I want to round it off to the next dollar. You know what I mean? I want it to click three times before I hang it up, so I get it right up there on the foam. I want you just to avoid that. But in the absence, and another thing too is, if you have an external leak in the car, you're running 40 pounds to 60 pounds of fuel pressure. Your tires hold 30 pounds of air. So if you have a fuel leak in the fuel delivery system of your car, it's going to be a big one. And when you hit the key to start it up, it's going to start spraying fuel on the ground. And when you back up, you'll see a 3-foot circle of wet gasoline on the driveway in front of you. And really and truly, once you lose so much pressure, the motor won't run anyway. So it's not going to let you drive it until you catch it on fire.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this helps a lot. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Anna. Bob, you're up next. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Your comments about the transmission flush and flush or change. Anyway, 2004 Ford Explorer gifted to me a couple, 3 years ago. When I called you about it and asked what should I do with it, you said drive it until the wheels fall off. So I still got it, but I very seldom drive it. And anyway, I parked it on a slight incline for quite some time. I take it out maybe once a week, you know, just drive it around the block. Anyway, over time, transmission fluid leaked out of it. So that the last couple of times I've driven it, the transmission is slipping.
Okay.
It has one of those things where you have to pump the stuff up in, you know, the transmission. It doesn't have a dipstick.
Okay.
So I took it to a couple of shops. They wouldn't touch it. They said, if it's slipping, we want to tear the transmission down and see what's wrong. And I'm like, $3,500 for a car that's worth $15,000, $20,000 maybe. And so, but my question is, first of all, what's the difference between a flush and a change, a transmission change or fluid change? And my second question is, shouldn't I be able to just have, tighten up the nuts on the pan, I guess, or the bolts, and then pump some fluid back in there and see if it runs okay? What's your suggestion?
There's lots of transmissions out there that don't have dipsticks. That doesn't mean that we don't have the ability to check the level and to add or subtract fluid. It's just a matter of the car has to be up in the air, and you're going to use a different piece of equipment to do it. So if you want to drain it, then you take this big plug out and stand back, get your thing underneath it, and there we drain it. And then if you're going to do that, then you go to this plug over here, and you take it off, and you just bring it up until it starts coming out of the hole, and then you're done. In a simplistic way, I've just described what you're talking about. This is easy. We just need to get it up on a hoist and look and see where that leak came from. Now, here's what they're going to ask you. You need to be prepared. When you parked it, was the nose down? Was the butt down? Was the nose up? Was the butt up? Or was it flat?
I see. Yeah.
That's
well, nose was up.
Okay. So then, and it's probably a tail shaft. And see, here's what happens is the converter has got a whole bunch of fluid in it. When you park it for a length of time, the fluid is unbalanced. So the front of the transmission has 10 inches of fluid in it, and the middle of the transmission has 4 inches of fluid in it. Okay? So as the longer it sits, it stabilizes. So the 10 inches goes to 5 and the 4 inches goes to 5. So the fuel or the fluid in the transmission stabilizes, so to speak, from the front to the back, the converter to the valve body. Well, when you start it up, the fluid will instantly resurface or resupply the converter, and you put it in reverse and you drive away. So let's just go after the leak. Next time it leaks, triangulate the leak and say, here, I put a piece of tape on the passenger door of this car. It's directly in line with this piece of tape underneath the car.
Okay, that's logical. Okay,
and then,
all right.
And then if you can, go get a white paper towel. Take the white paper towel, wipe it, put it in a Ziploc bag, and I want to see if it's red or brown. That's what I want to see.
Yes, I remember. I listened to you, and you talked about that. Then we know what's happening with the fluid, whether it's burned or not.
More important, okay. You just saved yourself $50, $60. You told me where the leak's at, and you told me what fluid's leaking. I don't have to go figure that out. Mm-hmm. So, no, is no big deal. How long did it sit there? Was it a day, a week, or more?
Usually a week.
Okay.
I'm old school, too. I learned a long time ago you don't park a car on any kind of a hill. You're begging for leaks. And it's just slight incline, you know?
Okay. Well, here, in the front of the transmission, the converter, let's pretend it's 12 inches tall, okay? And like I said, it's full. It's the pump. It's what makes the transmission work. We spin it, and it sends pressure fluid through the transmission to make it work. In the body of the transmission, the fluid level might be 3 inches. Well, what happens is if you get a little leak in there, then the high is going to drain into the low. So instead of having a 10-inch and a 3-inch, then you're going to be in the middle of that. So you're going to be in the 4.5, 5 inches on both of them. One of the keys here is when you put it into reverse, there is a delay before it goes into reverse. Now, it could be a delay. You put it in reverse, chick, and it goes 1, 2, 3, boom. And then you can feel it go into reverse. That tells me the converter didn't have enough fluid in it. So it's either leaking internally or externally. But the first thing I want to do is I want to check the fluid level. That's all. So what you're talking about is something that any oil change place should be able to handle for you.
Okay, I took it to one oil change place and two regular shops. I'm going to bring it over to you. But all the oil change place said, we don't have the equipment to do that. But like you were saying, I had gone online and looked at some of the pictures, and they hear exactly what you said.
Yeah.
There's a two, and I don't have the tools to do that.
Okay, but where
exactly
do you...
exactly what you said.
Give me cross streets where you're at.
I'm in Chandler over at Alma School in Elliott. I know where you are.
Okay.
I've been there a few times. So,
okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, because I could tell you, I could send you to another shop close by, but I understand your position. You make sure you call, because I don't know anybody right now that's capable of pulling, you know, if the car gets towed in, it goes to the emergency lane, but everything else is just by appointment only.
Right.
It's just because we're just all swamped. And so just call them and just say, when's your earliest appointment? I can get it in. I'd like to leave it overnight. And I'd like you to check to see what's leaking in the morning.
So you recommend I don't drive it?
No, drive it over there, but leave it overnight.
Oh, okay.
So take it in. They say your appointment's for 8 o'clock Thursday morning. Fine, you drop it off Wednesday night.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha. Thanks, Mark.
All right, thank you.
Terrific.
You bet. We're going to do another hour in a few minutes, but I've got to get out here and... at 58 minutes after the hour, which is 3 minutes away. So if you have a car question, you can get in now, 602-508-0960. There's 5 lines open. He's the engineer that runs this show. He's the boss of this show. He's the boss of me. He uses bad words every once in a while, but you can't hear him. I can hear him in my ears. But they're not really, really bad words. But he does say, you missed your mark by 3.5 minutes, and I tell him, I already knew that. So it's the way it is. But anyway, Gil answers the phone, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have 5 lines. You can grab one of the 5 lines, and we can talk about your car. I am an ASE Master Certified Technician, and for the last 30 years, I have worked on behalf of insurance companies and lawyers on both sides of issues, both plaintiffs and defense. I've worked for the county attorney. I've worked for the U.S. attorney. I've worked for the Better Business Bureau as an automotive expert. I know what I'm talking about, and I have lots of experience, and I have no need, no want. I don't have any reason to lie to you or to send you to some place that that's going to butter my bread. When I send you to a shop, I'm not getting a single penny from that shop for the referral. And I'll tell you why. It's hard to find good shops. And I'm so blessed by being surrounded by a whole bunch of people I've known for the last 20, 30, and sometimes 40 years, in the case of Chuck Nyday and Bill Bridwell. These guys know what they're doing. And so I feel real comfortable in knowing that they're not going to give you a laundry list of $1,000 worth of work that has to happen now. They're not going to do that. And if they do find that, they're going to give you the list and tell you do it whenever you can. And here's the symptoms and here's the problems that we're seeing that necessitates this work. For instance, Mrs. Jones, when you put it in gear in the morning, is there a clunk? Yes, there is. Okay, well, that's the bad motor mount. That's the mount I'm telling you that I think we should repair, because we had that happen to us when we put it into reverse. There was a heck of a clunk. Yes, that's been there a long time. Okay, well, that's a bad motor mount. We just do one. We don't need to do all three or all four of them. We're just going to do the one. Now, sometimes we have to do a pair, but depends on the circumstances and it depends on the vehicle. So that's what it's all about. Car repair is really what's in your best interest. What can we do to get you moved down the road without just taking advantage of you and lying to you and telling you everything is wrong and your car's next to going to fall apart on you and all that other kind of stuff, which is the part of our industry that's a minority, and it's certainly a very small percentage of our industry who tells customers and use scare tactics. And more important than the scare tactics is they deviate from the owner's manual, and they know good and well what the owner's manual says, because virtually that you can lay them all over one another and the timelines are pretty much the same. They're going to sell you something that benefits them. And if it's at 30,000 miles, they already know that it's a 100,000 mile service. But they're going to sell you on the 30,000 because we're in Arizona. Look how hot it is. Oh, yes. If you go 100,000, we're just going to end up doing a transmission replacement at 100,000. Nothing could be further from the truth. So the idea is find a good shop. And if you want to find my list of good shops, it's at marksalem.com. Marksalem.com is the website address. Mark Salem, like the cigarette. 602-508-0960 is the phone number. If you'd like to get one of the five lines open, grab it now. 602-508-0960. Mark Salem and Gil will be back in a minute, and we're going to have another hour of Car Talk right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, we have four open lines available. Mo has one. And so there are four available, 602-508-0960. I'm especially good at my husband says this and I disagree, or my wife says this and I think otherwise. I'm especially good with that. I am the world's best marriage counselor. My wife is flipping out right now. She just hates it when I say that, but I am pretty good at those kinds of conversations where there's two sides of an issue, and we'll discuss both sides and then I'll give you my opinion. And typically, there's some merit to both sides. It's really a matter of what's the end result going to be. Do I change my oil every 3,000 miles, and will that make my engine last longer, in spite of the fact that the owner's manual says change it at 10,000 miles? And the answer to that question is no, your engine doesn't have a heart, and it's not going to love you more and last forever if you change your oil every 3,000 miles, as opposed to when they tell you every 10,000 miles. And when does Mark change his oil in his diesel truck? Every 10,000 miles, just like the manual says. And I use a full synthetic oil, 10,000 miles, just like the manufacturer says. So it's not the same brand as the manufacturer, but it's an oil that we sell to all of our customers. It's Chevron, as a matter of fact, but it could be Valvoline, it could be Phillips, it could be Shell, it could be Mobil. All of those guys are big dogs with oil, and there's nothing wrong with all those oil, and if I were you, I'd shop price. Anyway, 602-508-0960. Blackwell Auto is at 40th Street and Greenway. Tom and I are cut from the same cloth. We both work on old cars, we both work on tractors, we both work on motorhomes, we both work on mom's and dad's cars, grandma and grandpa's cars. And Tom's a really good guy and been around a very long time. So if you live anywhere near 40th Street and Greenway, Tom's a good shop if you don't already have one. And you're welcome to say, I'm here because Mark Salem said you're a good guy. And he'll laugh and he'll say, well, I can't say the same thing about him. And then you'll know that we're really good friends. Mo, good morning to you. How can I help you this morning?
Good morning, Mark. Yeah, I'm glad you were talking about your wife. I've always had this fantasy that Miley Cyrus was my wife so I could have all the kind of money I needed to restore my old 2001 Dodge Ram.
Okay.
It's her fault. The reason it's her fault, I'm so crazy. Okay, anyway, hey, you were talking about Tom's Auto Shop. I got a question. I got an old 01 Dodge Ram 4x4 extended cab, 5.9. And I've got, I think what it is a heater core, but I'm not sure. I got two issues. The heater core, does that mean like if steam or whatever starts coming out of the top of your dash by your windshield, would that, do you think that's what it would be?
Well, yes, that's one of the symptoms. That's certainly one of the symptoms. It's on the outside of the windshield or on the inside of the windshield?
Inside, I think.
Okay. Steam is hot coolant, and so if you have a heater core and it's leaking, it also should leak into the vents, and it may come out by the floor, but it also may drain outside the vehicle. And it'll also cause the overflow jug to be consumed to the point where it's empty, and then you'll add more coolant, and the next time you check it, it'll be empty again. This is how we test it. We put a pump, a handheld pump. We take the radiator cap off, and we put a handheld pump on it, and we pump it up, and the radiator cap says 12-pound cap, and I'm going to take it to 14 pounds. Put it at 14. I'm walking away. I'll come back half an hour later, and I'll look inside the truck and outside the truck, and if it has a leak, I'll see it because I'll find coolant in the truck or I'll find coolant outside the truck. And then I just follow the leak to where it's at, and then I bid the repair. This isn't rocket scientist. However, going into the dashboard and getting that heater core is not going to be on a 1 to 10 scale. It's going to be the pricing of a 6 or a 7. Now, they're going to ask you...
What do you mean? Price of what? $600 or $700?
No. On a 1 to 10 scale, it's going to be a 6 or a 7 as far as expense is concerned. It's not an easy job. We have to take the dashboard apart. There's a lot of work there.
Right.
So I hope you would say to him, take the heater core and replace it. Replace both hoses because you got one end of each one of them loose already. So I want to replace both heater hoses, and I want you to clean up that area real good for me. That's what I like to hear people
say.
Okay,
so Mark, you think Tom's Auto Body Shop would be good for that? Because I don't live too far from it.
Okay, he doesn't do paint and body. He's strictly a mechanical shop. You're talking about Tom Blackwell at 40th Street in Greenway.
Yeah, would he be able to do that heater core if that's what the deal is?
Oh, yeah. On a 1 to 10 scale with respect to us old guys, that heater core may be a 4 or a 5. It's not a 9 or a 10 in difficulty, but it's just going to take a lot of time. So it's
okay,
not anything.
The other question is, Mark.
Okay.
Okay, the other question is, on that, you know those old Dodges, you know, the dashboards, the plastic, you know, they just rot out real quick. Would I be better off just ordering one of those replacements from Amazon or something and then ask Tom if he would put it on, or how would that work? Because mine is completely, it's gone.
Well, he has to take the dash pad off anyway, so what difference does it make to him if he takes the old one off and puts a new one on? There shouldn't be any additional charges. And if it is, tell him that Mark will pay the first $5, you just cheap son of a gun.
Hey, you crazy. All right, but hey, next time you see Miley, you tell her to call me, okay?
Who?
Miley Cyrus. You have her get a hold of me because then she can pay for the whole thing, right?
Yes, she can. And I'm not going to stand in front of her and say she can pay the whole thing, but I'll tell her that Mo wants to know if he'll pay the whole thing. I'll just do it for you.
Yes.
Okay, good enough.
Okay,
thank
Mark.
You.
Have a great weekend.
Okay,
thanks for your info.
You bet. All right. T.O.T. Blackwell. I take notes on all of these things to, and so Mo with his 01 Ram 4x4 5.7, which is the diesel motor, heater core, TOT Blackwell Automotive, and so everybody knows what Mark said and what Mark's did in the whole thing. 602-508-0960, the lines are open. 602-508-0960, the lines are open, right, Gil?
They are open.
Yeah, all five of them, so you have a 1 in 5 chance if you have a car question or a car problem. Maybe you got an estimate and you want to read me something that they wrote on the ticket. We don't want you to identify the shop. We don't want to turn into that kind of a radio show, but it's just a matter of what they say and what they do. There's a lot of shops in the Valley that have been around a very, very long time. Another one, Blackwell's been around, but Kurt's Auto, he's up at I-17 and Bell Road. Kurt's been a friend of mine for 20 years. the very first time I sent a lady to Kurtz, she had been told that she needed a new engine, and the bid was like $6,000. Kurt called me later, because I had said to her, would you have Kurt call me and tell me how he fixed your car? He called later, and he said it was an $80 repair. And I said, the other shop had bid a motor. And he goes, yeah, I know, but it was an $80 repair. Well, what was it? The oil pressure switch was bad, which was turning on the oil pressure light, and the light is red. And I said, okay, I got you. He said, it was just the oil pressure switch was bad. So we tested the oil pressure switch. It was bad. We put a new one in. I said, well, how much was the bill? And he says, it was, I don't know, $60-$80. Parts, labor, diagnosis. Okay, she's happy. Oh, well, happy doesn't even describe it. She went from needing an engine for $4,000 and $5,000 to have a $60, $70, $80 bill, and the repair is fixed, and the motor's fine, and the light is off. And that's how we met. And from then, he's been my kind of go-to guy there up in that area. So I-17 and Bell, northeast corner, is Kurtz Automotive. He's a good guy. He knows what he's doing. He knows right from wrong. And he's not going to take advantage of you and lie to you and tell you that you need a complete new wiper blade motor when he knows the fuse is popped. And so, and to be honest with you, there's not too many of those shops left in the valley. There's still some. But I would say that they represent one out of 20 shops that are in business today. And sometimes it's just a matter of ignorance. And a lot of times the technician tells them that this needs a transmission, but in reality, all it needs is a fuse. And that's an exaggeration, because rarely do we fix a transmission problem by replacing a fuse. But I'm just giving you that as some kind of a visual on radio where you can't see me talking and waving my hands and everything. So the idea is that sometimes we're victims of a poor diagnosis from a technician that works for us, and oftentimes they have indicated they're more qualified than they are, and so they come up with a diagnosis, this needs a new engine, when really it's a $60, $80 oil pressure switch. The oil pressure switch tells the dashboard that there is oil pressure. When the oil pressure switch goes bad, it tells the dashboard there's no oil pressure, and it turns on the red light. Just because the red light's on, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have oil pressure. But it's red means stop. So as the driver, you have to stop what you're doing right there. You can't take the chance of driving another 5 miles home. Because if, in fact, you do have an oil pressure problem, the motor will not last the 4 or 5 miles home. So you have no choice but to pull off the road right away. So red means stop. Just remember that. So if you get a red light on an overheat, you get a red light on an oil pressure switch, you better stop, because if that light's telling you the truth and there is a major malfunction in that system, that motor won't last very long. So I can tell you unequivocally, an engine with no oil will last less than 4 or 5 miles. And how do I know that? Is because I've been working on cars since 1973, and my shop has bought 2 or 3 cars because our staff forgot to put oil in them after the oil change, and every single one of them was towed back to our shop with a bad motor, and none of them made it more than 4 or 5 miles with no oil in them. So I'm going to tell you it happens, and it's happened to us, and we've bought motors, and it's just one of the risks of being busy and not paying attention to what you're doing. And obviously the technicians were still gainfully employed, and they financially participated with their labor of putting the motor in a vehicle that they inadvertently destroyed. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'll talk to you about another shop in town that I'm real proud of, and that's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa. Thompson's has been around since 1970 in that location, but Brian and his wife Thelma come from two families that have had gas stations since the 60s in Mesa. They had Union 76 stations and Shell stations. Those two young people, they're married, Brian and Thelma, they grew up where Daddy smelled like gas. And when he came home to dinner, he always had to wash his hands before he sat down at the dinner table. Brian and Thelma, when you meet them in Mesa, you'll just love them like everybody else does. They're the salt of the earth, and they're really good at what they do. But both of them have a real good foundation on auto repair, because they came from families, the Vivian family and the Thompson family, that had gas stations forever. And when I was in high school, I knew their families. So it was no problem for me to tell you that Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street, just east of Stapley on the south side of the road, that's the only shop in Mesa I can tell you to go to It's the best shop in Mesa as far as I'm concerned, but it's the one I refer Mesa people to, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. We'll be back right after this. Well, Mark and Gil are in the doghouse because Mark and Gil are not on the same wavelength, and Mark's on the phone during the breaks, and Gil doesn't know. And then Gil's on the phone at the end of the break, and I'm trying to get a hold of him, and he's not talking to me because he's talking to somebody on the other phone. So behind the scenes, we fell apart, and it's okay because you probably didn't even know the difference. Anyway, the lines are open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, then give us a call, and we'll get right on it, and we'll do the best we can. If you'll tell us year, make, and model, and we're going to talk symptoms, we're going to talk pricing, we're going to talk, and the pricing, I can't possibly give you a specific number for a specific diagnosis and repair, because you have diagnosis, then you have the parts and the labor to install it, then you got shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax. I can't do that. But I can hear a number and say, you know what, that's in the ballpark. And I can do that kind of stuff. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. At the beginning of the last hour, I talked to you that I have a trike. I have a Honda trike with a Roadsmith attached rear end. So it's a three-wheeled trike, and I've had it for 8 years, and we've just enjoyed the heck out of it, but we are just going to get out of motorcycling. So if you know anybody that wants to buy a trike, this trike is going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $23,000, but it's a top-quality trike. It's a Roadsmith rear end, and if you look at Roadsmith, you'll find out that that's the Mercedes-Benz of trikes. And I have all the maintenance records, and I have all the tire receipts, and I have all the maintenance stuff, and I have everything imaginable because I'm that kind of a crazy person that has a spreadsheet on every vehicle I own, including every time I sat on this seat, and I make fun of that because that's what my wife says, but in reality, I don't have that kind of stuff. I don't put that kind of stuff in my log, but all the oil changes and when I changed tires and what trips we took and all that kind of stuff, that's all available, and what bulbs it had in it and what number of bulbs and work orders and part numbers and all that other kind of stuff. The only thing I take out of that is pricing, because the pricing is our cost on parts and stuff like that, and I don't want to confuse anybody, so I usually black that out with pricing. But the part number's there, so if you needed another headlight bulb, the part number's already on the receipt, and so you just look at that and Google that and buy it on Amazon or something like that. Gil, we have a caller. Who might that be?
Say good morning to Don.
Don, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm calling about, I know you're the oil expert, so I'm calling about my wife's car. It's a 2010 Chevrolet Impala. She only drives it about 2,500 miles a year. How often should I change the oil?
Once a year.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Should I use a 50% synthetic or 100% synthetic?
No, I'd use it just a conventional oil. It's
okay.
Cheaper. And you're only going to go to... And let me tell you why I'm answering you the way I am. A conventional oil is good from 3,000 to 5,000 miles. Okay? That's the interval it's okay in. Then semi-synthetic is from 5,000 to 7,500. And then a synthetic is 7,500 to 15,000. We wouldn't use a synthetic oil on your car. I wouldn't try to sell you a synthetic oil on your car because, in reality, that would be 7 years of oil. You wouldn't change the oil. And I think that's a bad idea to have not have. See, an oil change is more than drain the oil and change the filter. It's check the tires, check the brakes, check the hoses, check the fluids, check everything. It's
right.
A visual check of everything. So if you're only going to do 2,500 miles, then just put a conventional oil in it. And if I were you, I would change it at the beginning of the summer. So you go through summer with fresh oil. Then you go through spring and fall and winter. And then you come back to the circle. So, no, I would shop for a coupon oil special and make sure they check all the fluids, the belts, the hoses, and the tires, and be done with it.
Okay, good. I'll do it.
Okay, and if the motor blows up, then you tell them that the guy on the radio was arrested and something like that. But, no, and really, what can happen in 3,000 miles a year? What can happen? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, the oil, I'm sure you check it at least once during that 3,000 miles, and it's not even going to be at the ad mark at 3,000 miles unless the car's belching blue smoke or leaking like a sieve. So this is a home run, and I want you to change it just before the summer so that you can go through the summer with fresh oil. That's the only purpose of that.
Good. Okay. I'll do it. Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question or a car problem. 602-508-0960. We have five lines open, and all five of them are wide open right now. So you have a 1 in 5 chance. When it comes down to oil changes, I'll give you the example. We just talked to Don, and his wife drives 2,500 miles a year, so we're going to put a conventional oil in it, and we're going to change it once a year in the beginning of the summer. Well, I drive sometimes 30,000 miles a year. And I have a one-ton diesel truck, and the truck's going to be hauling horses. It's going to be hauling tractors. It's going to be loaded up most of the time. Well, I'm using a high-end synthetic oil, and I'm changing my oil every 10,000 miles. So in reality, I've got two oil changes a year somewhere around there. But I'm comfortable with that, and 10,000 miles is not an abnormal amount for a synthetic oil. And I do check my oil about every third time I fill it up with gas. It's not that hard to pull the dipstick on it and look, because I don't want to get caught with my pants down and with the oil not on the stick, and neither do you. So those are the issues. Again, a conventional oil is good for 3,000 miles or so, and then a semi-synthetic is 3,000 to 5,000 miles. And then from there, conventional is up to 3,000 to 5,000. And then semi-synthetic is 5 to 7. And then 7 to 15, 12, 15,000 miles for synthetics. So it just depends on the quality of the oil and how long you can go in between oil changes. I would suggest that if you're going to use that mathematical formula that you can find on my website, marksalem.com, under oil changes on FAQs, it's just really a matter of what's your annual use of oil, and I'm going to change it in May. April or May, I'm going to change the oil, go through the summer with fresh oil, and then I'll decide what I'm going to do after that. My wife's car, oftentimes, she doesn't do more than 5,000 miles a year, so I use a conventional oil, and we do hers at 5,000 miles a year. Now, she just bought something, and she's going to be traveling a little bit more, so I'm waiting to see what her oil change intervals look like, and then I'm going to adjust the oil. So I may go from a conventional oil to a semi-synthetic, and depending on her miles, I'll go from a semi-synthetic to a full synthetic. So those are the three options you have. And folks, Mobil, Shell, Phillips 66, and Chevron are the four companies that pull oil out of the ground. Every can of oil is going to have oil in it that came from Mobil, Shell, Phillips 66, or Chevron. So when you go into the auto parts store, just figure out which oil you want. Conventional oil, semi-synthetic, or full synthetic, and buy the cheapest brand you can. Now for me, our tanks, we have eight different kinds of oils. We have 300-gallon tanks. So, and we pump a lot of oil, and we do lots of oil changes. So we just squirt it out of a gun that hangs off the ceiling. So for us, we have lots of oil in inventory, and we buy lots of oil, but we don't have the cans and the lids and the cardboard boxes to deal with. So for us, it's really nice and easy, because we can squirt 5 quarts of oil into a car in probably 20 seconds. And that's a savings of time, plus we don't have to throw away, like I said, the lids, the cans, and the cardboard boxes. So that's kind of how it works. And there's a lot of other shops out there that do what we do, or we do what they do. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. And if you have a specific question about what you should do, then use the phone, 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. We've got three callers, but we got two open lines, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If we don't do 10 callers in 2 hours, then Gil and I are going to get fired. So if you want to give us a call, that would help us out immensely. 602-508-0960. Richard, you're up first. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have an old truck that I purchased in 2009. And, oh, by the way, I'm an old guy, too.
Okay.
And I have a question here about the oil pressure sensor.
Okay.
How often do those go? How often do those go out on a GMC Sierra that I have? It was replaced back in 2019, and just all of a sudden, last week, it started to give me problems, and I had the display on the dashboard come on saying low oil pressure, and it advised me to shut the engine off, and I haven't driven it since.
Okay.
So my question is, how often do those go out? I mean, is it because it was defective, or is it because of improper oil changes, intervals, or what?
Okay, you can answer the question, but you got to do some work. So most of us are going to pull the old oil pressure switch out, and we're going to look at it. If it's been leaking, then it's bad because it's leaking. And that's nothing that you did. That's nothing that's abnormal. It's just the way of the way it is. That's all there is to it. Just the way that it is. There's no pattern failure for GM oil pressure switches. So that idea that, you know, I got a bad oil switch because it was made in this year at this, you know, at this factory in Mexico, that none of that applies. Here's what happens. First thing we do is we go back and get the old one off and look at it. Is there anything wrong with it? Is it leaking externally? Then we plug in a manual gauge, so we thread it into the hole. Now we have a gauge and we start it up and we want to know what the oil pressure really is. So if it's normal, it's going to be somewhere between 10 and 50. And so we rev the motor up. It should get a little closer to 50. We let it idle. It should be between 10 and 15. So we do that. Then maybe we hop in it and we go drive it for a 5-mile round trip down through freeway 3 miles and back up the freeway 3 miles, park it. Everything's fine. We just put another switch in it and we move on. So it's you're asking me how often does a tire last, and the answer is well, it depends on who's driving the car, and it also depends on what the quality of the switch, the oil pressure switch that was put in last time. But in reality, this is not a big deal. This is just not a big deal. This is not the beginning of the end. This is just something that needs to be done, and you'll figure it out soon enough. If we put a manual gauge on there and the thing's got 5 and 8 pounds of pressure, that doesn't mean that the motor's bad. That just means that there's something wrong with the oil pump, and it could be that the screen has collapsed or the screen is filled with mud. So we pull the oil pan, we look at the oil, we go, oh, wow, here it is. So we clean it all up, put a new oil pump screen in it, or put a new oil pump and screen in it, and a pickup assembly, put it back together, and now you're back on the road. So there's this process we have to take, but I can't tell you which one. What's wrong with your car?
Even though it lasted from less than 10 years, from 09 to 2019?
That's not a fair analysis. That's not, I mean, that's just, I object to thinking that it lasted 20 years and everything is okay, so why didn't it last another 20 years? That's just a huge waste of my brain power. I mean, I can apply
that.
I mean, think about this. We're processing 30, 40, 50 cars a day. If we took that focus, which would benefit us, it would do nothing but cause chaos. So I just disagree with the idea that you think something's wrong because this one didn't last as long as the other one. And I'm saying, I think what you should do is take my advice and just go get another one and a manual test and another one installed and ask them to put a name brand in that you recognize, like AC Delco or GM or whoever else that's a name brand oil pressure switch guy, and then that's what I would do. Anyway, that's the best I got to offer you, Richard. Good luck to you one way or the other. Joe, you're up next. Joe, how can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
My first issue is a transfer of a title for a vehicle title. My brother passed away 6 months ago, and the vehicles are mine now, but I don't know how to transfer the title. I have the death certificates, so that's proof that what happened. Can you help me out with that?
Well, you have to have something that some legal document that says that you're the executor of his estate, or he left you the truck in order to. So you have the title, that's fine, but you still have to have permission, or you have to have some document that says that you're allowed to sign on his behalf of the title.
Arizona titles on the back have a place where he can sign, or he could have signed it before he died. I'm not too sure about that now.
Yeah.
But it has to be notarized.
Well, your signature is notarized, but the notary is going to want some document that says that you, John John Smith consign the deceased Mark Salem's title. So this is more of a legal question than anything else. Did your brother leave? Who did he leave in charge of his estate?
I think I'm it.
Okay, well, I know
he didn't do it in writing.
Okay, so so then what you would probably have to do is get a court. Now, is there anybody else other than you and your brother?
No.
Okay, good, because I was in the middle of four girls. And there was no mom didn't tell anybody what to do, and then it all hell broke loose. Okay, in your particular case, I think what you're going to do is hiring an attorney, and the attorney is going to file the necessary paperwork to have the court determine that you are the one that should handle the estate of your deceased brother, and that'll be it. And then at that point, with that document. Then you can go to the title company and you can convert that title to your name or anybody else's name. You can sell it or keep it, whatever you want to do. Now,
you ever heard of a surety bond?
Yeah, you can also
somebody
do
brought
yeah,
that.
You can do that.
Because what happens there is purchasing the bond is guaranteeing to the state that the vehicle wasn't obtained illegally.
Well, I understand that, but you're going to spend a whole bunch of time and a whole bunch of money on a surety bond when an attorney can get some court to just say, Joe is the brother of this guy and he died and he didn't leave any distress and there's no other family, there's no other sons and daughters, there's no other brothers and sisters, it's just Joe and Mark and we're asking the court to assign Mark the administrator of Joe's estate. That's what it's all about.
You would love to get your hands on his 67 Mercury little sports car there. I can't think of the name of it right now.
Yeah.
But you would love to get your hands on that.
Well, there's lots of cars that come through my shop that I'd love to get my hands on, but it's my wife has a hold of the checkbook and I unfortunately I get to buy horses and cows, but I don't get to buy cars. But I got to run. But Joe, I got to go. Thank you very much, Bruce. You're up next. How can I help you? Should I take a break, or do you want me to do Bruce?
Actually, Bruce dropped. Go to Ray.
Go to Ray. Okay, Ray, good morning. You're up next, buddy.
Hi. Thanks very much for taking my call. I have a question for you.
Okay.
I've got a 2021 Ford Explorer, and I hear you're talking about the oil. We had our last oil change back in August. It was about 11,000 miles. We've got about 17 on it now. I called the dealership, and actually about 3,000 of those 6,000 miles were our four-day trip. About 600 or 700 miles a day for 4 days driving out from Connecticut. In Connecticut, they put semi-synthetic oil in, and I think you said that was good for, is it 3,500 to 5,000?
5 to 7. 5 to 7,500.
Oh, 5 to 7,500. Okay. So we're still within a good range, and I think I'll probably intend to get it changed before we go back to Connecticut in a couple months.
Okay.
But question for you. I heard you talking about auto dynamics. It was Chuck earlier in the show.
Yes.
I'm thinking, would that be in lieu of going to a dealership because it's a newer Ford? Would you recommend that, it's good to get the oil changed there?
That's such a huge question. Let me explain. The General Motors dealership, the Ford dealership, the Chrysler, the Honda, the Toyota, they work on Hondas and Toyotas.
Yep.
I work on Alfa Romeos, Buicks, Chevrolets, Ford, Dodge, Lamborghinis, motorhomes, tractors, Massey Ferguson's, lawnmowers, John Deere. I and my staff have far more experience with internal combustion motors and electrical systems and alternators and starters than the guy that works on Hondas his whole life.
Okay.
So I'm not mad at you in any way, shape, or form, but this comes up like the dealer's the holy grail of everything Toyota, Honda, Chevy, Ford, Dodge. You know what? I don't have anybody in my stable of ASE Master Certified Technicians that came from a dealership. My guys are as good, and so are a lot of other shops. We are as good as they can get. But I can tell you this much, There has been times in my years, and I started in the gas station business in 1968, and I owned my first shop in 1979. There's been guys that have applied both from chain stores and dealerships and independent shops, and it doesn't take Mark Salem long to figure out that he's not working in my stable. And there's an equal amount of people, technicians, that come from dealerships, independent shops, and chain stores. I'm just going to say each one of them has a third. So dealerships, you can do whatever you want, but I also want to tell you that you can go between conventional and semi-synthetic and synthetic anytime you want. Your engine doesn't have a computer that knows that you changed the oil on me. You went from Valvoline to Chevron. None of that's going to happen. So you can pick the oil for your car, and you can pick the interval as long as it's well within the parameters that I've described before. Anyway, Ray, got to run. I got to take a break. We'll be back right after this. When it comes to picking a shop, I would hope that before you patronize a shop with a giant bill, that you look up their Google reviews and look at their Better Business Bureau record and look and see how long they've been in business and all that kind of stuff that really makes a difference. There's lots of shops that there's shops in my geographical area that have had four or five owners over the last 4 or 5 years. And it's the one guy can't make it and he sells it with bogus books to the next guy, and then he can't make it, and on and on and on. And so that happens a lot. The only time that I think that you should go to the dealer is, this is a crazy example, but you'll understand what I'm trying to say. In the morning, on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, you go to start your car, and when you turn the key on, you hear a quacking noise, and it quacks four times. And you don't know what it is, and you've never seen it before, and you Googled the heck out of it, and you can't find that my car is quacking. And so you might call the dealer because he's the one that worked on your car, or you know, he's supposed to know the most about you. And he could pull up stuff that I don't have access to, and they say, if a customer comes in with a VIN number such as this, and he complains that he's hearing a quacking noise, and it only lasts for 7 or 8 seconds first time on a cold startup, then I want you to look at this particular blend door activator and replace this with model number so-and-so, which is version 2. That's when you're best served under those conditions. If it's a brand new car and got some kind of an idiosyncrasy, you're probably served better there because it's going to be a while, a year or so, before that process moves down into the independent market and other places. But when it comes to oil changes and tires and maintenance, you are served best, in my opinion, by simply picking the very best. For instance, in tires, you should probably deal with Discount Tire. I'm going to tell you in advance, I work for Discount Tire as an expert. I know the people that run them, and I've seen them do some amazing things, and I've seen them do things that I as a business owner probably wouldn't do for customers of theirs. But they sell good tires, and their prices are unbelievably cheap, and they have free rotations, and they do flat repairs and all kinds of stuff. So Discount is a great place. I'm not going to give you other tire stores because there's a lot of other tire stores that also do oil changes, and they also do tune-ups, and they also do this and also do that. That's cherry picking. So yeah, we can all, if Mark wanted to make as much money, I would just be brakes. I would do fluids. I would do spark plugs. I'd do batteries, and I'd do tires. And if I could do that, I could make a whole lot of money, and I would never have to do any diagnostic work. I would just be what they call R&R, remove and replace. Take the part off, put a part on, boom, we're done. So it's the diagnostic process of finding out what happened and is the part bad and what caused the part to go bad. That's the process. And you have to have some kind of expertise, and you also have to send your technicians to school, and you also have to test them with respect to their skills. I'll give you an example. I'm an ASE Master Certified Technician. There's 8 automotive tests. I have to pass all 8 tests to call myself a master, and then I have to do that every 5 years. However, I'm of the age where I'm now emeritus, and I had to look that up. It means I'm retired, so I don't have to take the test anymore. But for the last 40 years, I've taken tests, and I've passed them all. So I get to call myself an ASE master, even though I don't have to. So I'm kind of like ASE master emeritus, which is retired, but I still get to use that. And it's just ironic that I own my own shop. And it's, this is not about you coming to my shop. This is not about me thumping my chest and telling you I'm the only shop in town. You've never heard that out of my mouth. I've been on the radio in Phoenix since 1988. I started at KTAR in 1988. I came to KKNT in 2011. I've been in this valley for a long time, and the name of my shop's probably come out of my mouth 30 times in the last 30 years when someone nails me down and says, "Where's your shop?" But it's not about the shop. It's about your car. And I think we have a caller. Who might that be?
Say hello to Bob.
Bob, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Good.
And Discount Tire is absolutely the best. I've been their customer ever since they were throwing tires through the front window, plate glass window of the store back in the 70s, I believe.
Yep.
I have a general question for you on Toyota.
Okay.
My daughter-in-law has a 2017 BMW 530 or something with twin turbos on it.
Okay.
It's got 80,000 miles on it. I've been kind of advising her to get rid of it before it starts having turbo problems, and I've been directing her towards Toyota cars. And in particular, she likes the Lexus RX350. Two questions for you. One, do the Toyota V6s, Lexus V6s, have timing cover leaks that are frequent, and the engine has to be removed to replace the timing cover gasket where it intersects with the head, the block, and the timing cover seal? Because they had grease on it from the factory or something like that, I read.
Okay.
Question number one.
Okay, we're going to do one at a time.
Okay.
This is... I'm going to change your question. Mark, how often do you do timing cover oil leaks?
That was going to be my second question.
Wait, let me finish. I'm going to ask your question. We can't compound this. This can't go on forever. Mark, how often do you deal with timing cover leaks? Whether you have to replace the timing cover, whether you have to take the... Mark, do you ever have to take the motor out? Yes. When? I just did on my Excursion. You're kidding. No. No, my Excursion. My 91 Excursion with a 7.3 diesel. The timing cover's leaking. We have to pull the engine on this diesel V8 in order to replace the timing cover. We got to pull the engine. The engine's 31 hours. 31 hours. Mark, how often does that happen? Oh, about once every 10 years. So you have to pull an engine to get an oil leak once every 10 years? Maybe once every 8 years. So it's not real predominant? No, it isn't. But it is on Google. I know it is. There's a whole lot of people that are yakking on Google that wouldn't know which end of the car to put the tailpipe, the tailpipe sensor in. We have all this stuff on the internet. Let me answer your first question. The BMW twin turbo, you're worried about the twin turbos failing. If she drives it like she stole it every once in a while, and if she changes her oil in any kind of respectable time frame, those twin turbos will be just fine. I have twin turbos on a Corvette. I have a turbo on my diesel Excursion. I have a turbo on my diesel pickup truck. My wife has a turbo on her new diesel Jeep. We all have turbos. We're not scared of turbos, but you can't baby the turbo. There is a time when you get on the freeway, you look around, there's nobody close, stuff the damn throttle to the floor and get going. Let's decarbonize that thing every once in a while. Don't baby your turbo diesel. So, no on the oil plate, this hypothetical oil leak on the front cover, no. And as far as the twin turbos concerned, if you're saying get rid of it because it's got twin turbos, I disagree with you. Now, I'm open to any other discussion.
Okay, even though they're $8,000 price from the dealer to replace them.
You mean the turbo?
Yes, two turbos, yeah.
What did I just tell you? I don't even do a turbo a year. We're doing 30, 50 cars a day at my shop. And we do everything from Alfa Romeos to Mercury Zephyrs. The dealers have what, two cars and two brands in their shop? I'm just doing everything. I'm doing motorhomes, freightliners, forklifts, cars, trucks, twin turbos, supercharged, direct injection, 8-speed transmissions, 6-speed transmissions, 8-wheel. I'm doing all of it. And so you're asking me, and I'm giving you an answer, but you can't argue with me. I have the experience necessary to tell you. I do not believe it's in your best interest or your daughter's to continue on this twin turbos gonna fail kind of idea. unless she doesn't change your oil on a regular basis, and if she, and unless that she drives it like an old grandma, she's going to carbon it up. And if she doesn't change your oil, that's going to wipe out the turbos. But if she does, she doesn't do those two, then you should be fine. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Folks, you can tell that my panties get wadded up when we have to talk about what the internet says. There's all kinds of people out there that pretend to be experts, and they talk about, I've seen this and I've seen that, and people bring that to us, and I don't like that. I don't want you to walk into my shop and give me a piece of paper about some unknown person that's going to tell me what to do on your car. What's going to happen under those circumstances with many of us old gray-haired guys in the valley that just won't put up with that nonsense is we're just going to look at the list you give us and say, you know, I'm going to have to bid this at about $650 to start with. And you know what that's called? That's called a chase-away number. We just don't want your business. We don't want you directing the repair of the car. We don't want to work at and have you tell us what to do, what to fix, what to do, where to go. No, we don't want to do that. So we're going to hit you in the eye, in between the eyes with a huge number, and you're going to go away and you're going to tell everybody that Mark Salem's really expensive. That's okay. You can say that. But the fact of the matter is Google doesn't fix cars. And when people call in and they talk about cars, I'm asking them lots of questions. Does it overheat? Where is the needle on the gauge? Have you ever seen the red light? Is there a leak from your oil pressure switch? All those questions. You don't see those with Mr. Google. They say, Mr. Google, I got a twin turbo on a BMW. How long do you think it'll last? Oh, 80,000 miles. You don't even know if the guy sold cigarettes, or he works at a bar, or he's the CEO of a Toyota. You don't know. You don't know who that person is. So just be careful about telling your repair shop how to fix a car based on your Google searches. It's just not a good idea. And if you say to fix this and we do what you say and it doesn't work, then you're not going to be able to tell us we need to give you your money back because we worked off your diagnosis. This is not a good idea. See you next Saturday here on KKNT.